The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, we'll read verses 1 through 11. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the twelve, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you and we rejoice at your goodness. And thank you, Lord, for the good report from our missionaries of souls saved and church buildings acquired. And Lord, we pray that you bless their works and give them fruits. Amen. Lord, raise up men and women and boys and girls, Lord, that will be a blessing and a help to the work there and leading their fellow compatriots to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us here at home, Lord. Bless us. God, we ask you to send to our church the people that you want here, Lord. We're evangelistic. We invite people. We try to win people to Christ. But Lord, we want the people you want here to be here and nobody else. And so, God, we pray that you'll add to our numbers by your grace so that we can do a better work and so that we can support more missionaries or support the missionaries that we have and increase their monthly support. But we do thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've shown us. We thank you for the truth of the gospel of Christ that shined in our hearts. And we thank you for the saving power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to save to the uttermost all them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thank you for assurance of salvation, Lord. Thank you for the promises, great and exceeding precious promises that make us partakers of your divine nature. We pray that you'll meet with us as we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that you bless the preaching. May it minister to everyone here. If anybody here is lost without Christ, I pray that you'll convict them of their need for salvation and that today would be their day of salvation. But Lord, for the saints, I pray that you would bless them and minister to them by the preaching of your word. And this we ask in the name above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We all have a carnal nature that seeks to exalt itself against Jesus Christ. When you got saved, this thing here didn't get saved. And this thing here, this old carnal flesh, this old man, still wants to have his way. The man on the inside got saved. He's perfect, amen, and he wants to serve God, but he's got to fight this guy in order to do it. And that's why there's a constant struggle, and you have to fight the good fight of faith until the Lord comes back and changes this vile body and fashions it like unto his glorious body. When given the chance, this old nature will regularly betray Christ in order to do its own will, in order to have its own way. And I say that to our grief and shame. The truth is God's done so much for us and salvation is so great a work that we should never want to do our own will. We should always, like the Savior did, say, not my will, but thine be done. But Galatians 3 verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? These people in Galatia had the gospel preached to them so clearly, so plainly, so regularly, it's as if they had been there at the crucifixion in person. And yet they were fools enough to be bewitched to get off the right track and not obey the truth after they'd been saved. As soldiers under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to seek ways to prevent this old flesh from getting the upper hand. We ought to set some things in place that will keep us from acting out the desires of the flesh. The Bible says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. You know how it is when you sin. you kind of make preparation ahead of time. You kind of start hanging around the old crowd, or you start going around the old places. You make it convenient, see, for the flesh to do what it wants. The flesh is never going to do anything that's inconvenient for it. Don't you know you had to fight to get to church this morning? Every one of you, you know how I know that? Because I had to do the same fight. If it were a convenient thing, if it were an easy thing, more people would do it. I wonder how many people would be here if it were convenient. I mean, that shows you the grace of God that got you here this morning to hear what you're going to hear. Amen. It's proof that you at least were victorious in that step. Amen. Of overcoming the desire to sleep in or to take a day off or to cut the grass or whatever. Amen. Our text says that Judas sought how he might conveniently betray Christ in verse 11. And there the Scriptures give us an insight of the weakness of our old nature. That this flesh isn't going to do anything unless it's convenient. Isn't that something? Job 24 verse 15 through 17 says, "The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, No eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light, for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death." So, you know what the criminal is waiting for? He's waiting for twilight. He's waiting for nighttime. He's waiting for convenience. It's not very convenient to rob a house in broad daylight with a dog and an alarm system going off. Amen. Why, you know what that shows me about my flesh and your flesh? That this thing right here that's not saved yet, praise God, one day He'll convert it. But until then, you know what I know about myself as well as you, even if you're a Christian? I know that this flesh is cowardly, sniveling, spoiled, chicken-hearted, and it's a creep. Amen, you're welcome. You don't have to have the conviction or character to do something unless it's convenient for you. But wait a minute, that's it. That's it. You know what the Lord just did? He provided for us a tool to fight this old flesh, knowing that it won't do anything unless it's convenient. So the key is in making it inconvenient for the flesh to rebel, to make it inconvenient in our lives to betray Christ. Amen? At least put a roadblock up. We can use this fundamental flaw of the carnal flesh to keep it in check. If we can just find ways to make it as inconvenient as possible to betray Christ in our lives, it'll never happen. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessed thought, amen? I hope that you take it to heart, because this message is safeguards to keep from betraying Christ. There's some things in this text that will help you and me to keep from betraying Christ. And what I mean by betraying Christ, I'm not talking about losing salvation. A Christian, when he gets born again, cannot lose that salvation. It's the gift of God. And the Bible says, "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." Amen. As Christians, we have a position in Christ and promises in Him that none of the saints before us or after us will ever have. Amen. And so we enjoy a privileged position as the body of Christ, as members of His flesh and bone, that will never lose our salvation. Now, I don't encourage you to go try, but the truth is if you disavowed Christ and went out and committed the most horrible crime or sin mentionable or that you could think of, it wouldn't be the new man that did that. It would be this flesh that did it. The Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bondage of this flesh? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord." He says three times in Romans chapter 7, when he sins, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in my members. Amen. When a Christian sins, it's not the new man that sins. He's saved. He's sealed. He's preserved. He's renewed after the image of Him that created him. It's this old carnal flesh that sins. And that's why the fight. Nobody gets away with anything, amen? If a Christian sins, if you sow to the flesh, you love the flesh, reap what? Corruption. Nobody gets away with anything. Don't think, well, I can just live however I want to live, I don't lose it. No, God's faithful even when we're not, amen? And He keeps His promise, and He which begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. But if you go thinking that you're your own and you can do whatever you want to do, you got another thought coming, because God chastens His children. And He can put something on you that tide can't take out. Amen? So be careful. But in Mark chapter 14, there are points here in this passage that show me inconveniences to betraying Christ. The first is in verse 2. In verse 1, they sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But verse 2 says, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. You know what they were worried about? The people. They were worried about what the people thought. And if we can just keep the right kind of company around us, we won't betray Christ in our lives. That's why it's so important to get around Christian fellowship. Because it puts good peer pressure on you. Amen. Sure. They were afraid of what the people would think, and so they kept quiet. And that's one way to keep your flesh in check, is by making sure you surround yourself with other Christians so that they put pressure on you not to do what you want to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hebrews 10, it's often quoted, but it's a great verse. Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The closer we get to Christ coming, the more we ought to be in church, the more we ought to be fellowshipping with other Christians. Why? Because it keeps a check on that old flesh of ours. Romans 15, verse 1 through 3, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You know, Christianity is not all about you. That's what maturity in Christ, growing in Christ, you learn that it's not being ministered to, but being able to minister that is what God has called you to. A baby Christian, a carnal Christian, a young Christian, an immature Christian is all about himself. How can he get a blessing? How can he do this? What God done for him? The mature Christian says, what can I do for others? How can I minister to others, not just be ministered to? Amen? It's not about myself anymore. Joy spells Jesus first, others next, you last. That's how you get real joy, man. Those people in Hollywood, they got fame, they got fortune, but all they have is themselves to spend it on. You know what they are? They're most miserable of men. But a Christian, you've got something more important than just you. You know what that means? That when tragedy happens in our lives, it's not just about us. Sometimes it's for the benefit of someone else. Sometimes it's God using tragedy in my life to help me to be a better minister to other people who've gone through tragedy. You understand, as a Christian, there's more to life and more to serving Jesus Christ than just you. And that's why it's important to get along and get around other Christians. Why? Because we provoke each other to love and good works. We edify one another. We build up each other in the faith. That's the way it's supposed to be. Sadly, in many churches, it turns into little cliques and gossip sessions. And well, do you see what they were wearing today? And all this foolishness, which is all outward fleshly stuff. Now, you have to put up with some of that stuff to a degree in any local church that you go to. We're not perfect by any means. My dad used to say, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, because you'll screw it up. Amen. But we try, amen. We try to be an example of a Bible-believing local church where we put a precedence and an influence and we put the preeminence on the Word of God and not on this thing or these things. All this is going to burn, amen. This is what's going to last. Souls are what's going to last. You know why I come to church? You say, you're the pastor, you got to come. No. This is not a career, amen. I have a job. I have two, as a matter of fact. This is not a hobby. This is not a career. This is a calling. But you know why I come here? You know why I associate myself with other Christians? Because I think my chances of being more of a success at the judgment seat of Christ are greater being connected with you folks than if I was just out there by myself. Amen and amen. Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. You know what he's given you? He's given you a clue on how to keep from betraying Christ in your life. Get around some other Christians and minister to each other. And you won't know what? You won't have time or energy to do anything else. You know, you ever wear yourself out for the Lord. Amen. You won't have the energy or time to sin. One time, this farmer, he had a farm, he had three sons, and they'd get up before the sun got up, before the rooster got up. They were up there farming, and they worked all day long, man. He worked those guys, and then when sundown came, he gave them their money, he gave them their pay, and said, okay, boys, go to town, have a good time on me. And he gave them all their pay, and they said, Dad, I'm worn out. I'm going to bed. And they got up the next morning and went to work. You know what? That was a wise dad. Because if you'll do what you're supposed to do, you won't have time to do what you shouldn't be doing. Amen? What do they say about idle hands and an idle mind? It's the devil's workshop. Amen. Many times we consider it an inconvenience to faithfully attend church service. But praise God, if we would just commit ourselves, we'd make it inconvenient to the flesh to do its own will. You know, in Pensacola Bible Institute, Bible college that I went to in Pensacola years ago, they taught Greek and Hebrew, not for the purpose of correcting the Bible or that you would get anything superior than what was already in a King James Bible. But one of the reasons why was to be able to turn the Bible critics over a barrel. But the other was to train you as a young minister to study something that you didn't necessarily enjoy. It was such a drag to learn Greek and Hebrew every week that when I graduated, you know what I got to say? Praise God, that's done. Now I can just get into the Word of God and enjoy that, amen? But it taught me something. It taught me character, the character of doing something that I don't necessarily enjoy, but that it was right to do, and it helped me. There's some things about the Christian life, some very basic things. One of them is church attendance. You know, I don't preach this every week, and I'm not singling anybody out, but I'm saying this. If you'll get into the habit of going to church as often as you can, every time the doors are open, God will bless you in other areas that you didn't imagine that He would bless you. If you'll take care of God's people and God's heritage, you know what He'll do? He'll give you an extra mile in the gas. He'll give you extra souls on your feet. He'll do what He did for the children of Israel for you. God will work miracles for you. You take care of His business. You put Him first. It's not convenient. No, it's never convenient. But if you'll teach that flesh to say no to self and yes to God, you'll get in a habit of it and it'll become easier. It'll start to become second nature. You know what happens to people when they get out of the habit of going to church? They find it that much harder to get back into the habit because it's something that It's a sacrifice. But you know what King David said about sacrifice? He said, I'm not going to sacrifice unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. If I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to make sure that I pay something for it, that God knows that I am earnest in wanting to give Him something. Amen. Not just wasting my time. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12 through 13, but when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. That's how concerned the Apostle Paul was with his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that he was willing to do without so that they could have. He said, I'll gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Why, that should be the attitude of every Christian. If that were the attitude of every Christian, you wouldn't have so much trouble in churches. Matter of fact, you'd have some, but you wouldn't have so much resistance to attending a Bible-believing church. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's how you get filled with the Spirit. That's what we do here. We sing together. We pray together. We hear the Word of God together. You know what that does? That binds us together in a spirit that worships Jesus Christ. And where two or more are gathered together in His name, He said, there am I in the midst of them. Now, the Lord's with you everywhere you go. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So He must mean that His presence is here in a special way that you couldn't get otherwise. And if you would recognize that yes, we're not going to God's house. We're going to see and experience the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in a special way. Let's jump in the car, kids, and go! Amen. Not, oh, we got to go to church. It used to grieve my heart when my kids would say, "Are we having church tonight?" And I'm the pastor, you know. I mean, obviously, yes. But, I mean, your kids ever ask, "Are we going to church?" That kid shouldn't have any doubt in his mind that mom and dad are going to church. Every chance they get, you know why? That's a testimony. You're raising up another generation. That's why churches across this land, solid or carnal, they're empty. You know why? Because somebody dropped the ball in an example. Americans used to go to church all the time, every time the doors were open. You know, there were men that would accidentally go to a ladies' fellowship just because they heard that the church was open. Amen. The point being is Christianity, modern professing Christianity, has lost something along the way, and some of it's due to they just find it convenient to stay home. And the world will help you with it. You know, for years, the Disney movies came on Sunday night on television. Not that there's any great thing, but you know what, to the average person that doesn't know any better, they thought, well, this is time to spend with my family. You should have had your family in church around the Word of God and around the feet of Jesus. Our country would be in better shape than it is if it were the case. Point number two, look at verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. It's a good thing because when they went to anoint his body to bury it, when he really was buried, they got there too late. He had already risen from the dead. So this lady had a great amount of foresight to anoint the Lord then. And he said, wherever the gospel's preached in the whole world, this would be told for a memorial of her. Wasn't that great? Isn't that great how the Lord takes something that people think is a waste and that might be something insignificant that you do, and he takes that thing and he blows it up for everybody to see, and he says, you know what this is? This is an example of somebody doing what they can do. She had done what she could. She didn't have to go to Africa as a missionary. She didn't have to become a great evangelist and have a television ministry. She didn't even have to have a ladies' Bible study. She anointed Christ, and Christ said, and he recognized, she did what she could. You know what, Christian? If you'll just do what you can, that'll keep you from doing what you can't and shouldn't be doing. If you'll get involved in the work of the ministry, I'm not talking about being a pastor or a missionary, unless God calls you, don't, amen. But you, as a Christian, have a place where you can minister, a place that God has called you to, people that he's called you to minister to, and if you'll do what you can, that will keep you from having opportunity to betray Christ. Matthew 26:16, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. He's looking for an opportunity. 1 Corinthians 16:15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There's a good addiction. People are always addicted to something. Well, if you'll find, you know what? That God knows that about our nature, that we're prone to that. So addict yourself to the ministry of the saints. Amen. And you have promise of this life and the life to come. Rewards. She hath done what she could. Are you doing what you can do? Can you do more? Can you give more? Can you attend more? Then do it. I said, Brother Adam, I'm not interested in excuses. I have my own to battle. Just do what you can do for God. And when you do everything you can do, push ahead and do more. Amen. The Bible says, if any man asks you to go a mile with him, go with him twain. Amen. Surely Christ is worthy of that. Surely Christ is worthy of service, not only what he commands, but if we would go beyond that, if possible, and say, Lord, I just want to let you know that I am interested, not just of a superfluous surface Christianity, a nominal Christianity. I want to be one of the folks that really shows that the grace of God wasn't spent on me in vain. You know what Paul said about his Christian life? He says, the grace of God wasn't bestowed on me in vain because I labored more abundantly than they all. We know salvation is not by works, but Paul says once he got saved by the grace of God, you know what he went out to set? He got so busy because he wanted the Lord to know, you didn't waste your grace on me. Are you doing everything you can do? She had done what she could. Could that be written on your tombstone? Well, if not, change. Amen? Do better. Ain't nobody imperfect. And you're not going to leave perfect, but you know what you can do? You can get better. You can improve. You can start. You can aim in that direction. Amen? You can't tell I'm on keto. I'm just starting. Hopefully by this time next year, you'll have a new pastor. Amen? I won't be half the man I am now. But you know what? I've started. And maybe you're not the most committed, faithful Christian that there is, but you can aim in that direction and say, Lord, you know my desire. Help thou mine unbelief. God, help me to be the Christian you want me to be, not the Christian the world wants me to be. You know, the world wants a Christian to be nice, little, happy, sweet citizens who pay their taxes and get along and don't rock the boat and keep your religion boxed into yourself and don't ever upset anybody. Be Christ-like, right? They have no idea who Christ is or what he was like. But they're in their minds, you know, Christ was somebody that just kind of floated around and blessed people, you know, like the popes. Christ wasn't anything like that. Neither is a Christian anything like that. Amen? Nobody who read the Bible would ever mistake a pope for a Christian. But do people mistake you for one? You know, do people accuse you of being a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, if they don't, maybe you need to step up your game. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4 says, "And praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Does God got a hold of you? Then he don't have to worry about your pocketbook. If God's got a hold of you, he doesn't have to worry about where you're spending your time or who you're spending it with. If God's got a hold of you, if he's got your heart, he's got the rest. Amen. Luke 22:4, "And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them." You know what that shows me? That shows me the evil communications corrupt good manners. Judas Iscariot communed with those priests and captains how he might betray them unto him. And if you stay in communion with God, you won't be in communion with his enemies. 1 John 1:3-4, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You know what the book says. "Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The whole world lieth in wickedness." You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to come out from among them and be separate. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." Amen. John 7:44 says, "Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man." Isn't that cool? That's really cool. They sent these guys to arrest Jesus Christ, and on their way to arrest him, they start listening to what he's saying, and they're so in awe of it, they return, and the guy says, "Where's he at?" And they're like, "You got to come hear this guy. Nobody ever said anything like him." Amen? That's just wild. But you know what? They didn't betray Christ. Why? Because they listened to what he said. Man, you know what? Christians are so in love with Hollywood, they'll listen to the History Channel version of Christ and what the Discovery Channel says about Christ and what everybody, you know, they'll watch the books and the movies, but they just somehow, in their nature, there's something about this book that repels the flesh. This book right here is the only true portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ that there is. Amen. Right on. There are Christians, there are real Christians, born-again Christians, who if they read the book of John today, it would shock them. The character and words of Jesus Christ. But because the devil is a thief and he steals the word, that's his primary job, and he's accomplished that quite successfully in many people's hearts. Listen, the flesh is looking for ways to justify its betrayal of Christ. And if you commune with the world, you will eventually find that unholy excuse. We're created to commune with the Spirit of God. What communion hath light with darkness? None. It's either light or dark. There's no in between. Like, there's no meeting ground there. If you cut off the flesh's communion with darkness, it won't ever be convenient to betray Christ. But you know what? As much as you let that world come into your home, influence your thinking, your emotions, your decisions, that's going to be that much more that you're weak when it comes to standing up to your own will and to your own way. John 6:64, but there are some of you that believe not, believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Living by faith will keep us from betraying Christ in our lives. Acting on the promises of Scripture by faith will prevent us from being deceived by our own heart. Judas Iscariot could have read Zechariah chapter 13 and found himself betraying Christ for 30 pieces of silver, and he could have said, not me. But he didn't. And he fulfilled Scripture without even realizing it. You know what? The best way to keep from betraying Christ in your life is to get so familiar with this book that it begins to dictate how you act and where you go and who you fellowship with and what decisions you make. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We used to preach at this nursing home in Mandeville, and there was an old fellow there named Callahan. What a blessing he was. He was my amen corner. And you know what he'd always say every time we visited, every time we had church service there? He would say, feed the faith and starve the doubts. Amen. Feed the faith. Get into this book. Get around people that are interested in this book. Get into a church where the Bible takes the preeminence. And you know what will happen? Your doubts will starve. You won't have opportunity to betray him. It'll become inconvenient. John 13:2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Supper ended. You know what happens when supper's done? You close the book. Yeah, you take a nap, amen. But you know what? This is our supper. So as long as you're feasting on the Word, you know what'll happen? You'll never have the chance to get up from the table and betray him. You see where I'm going? If you're enjoying a good meal from the Word of God, you won't betray Christ. Judges 19:1-10. There's a guy who goes to fetch his concubine, and every time he goes to leave his father-in-law's house, you know what his father-in-law tells him? Oh, stay a while, take it easy. I pray you, eat and drink. And they sit down for another meal. And then he gets up and he's fixing to leave, and he says, oh, you know, it's getting late. Why don't you just stay a while? Have dinner with me. He keeps parking. Why? To eat and drink. Is there something about eating and drinking that promotes fellowship? But it also keeps you from betraying Christ if you're feasting on this Word. Supper having ended, the devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So what you need is a steady diet of Bible without ever stopping. And you know what? You don't eat just 2 or 3 times a week. You don't eat just once a week. You eat every day. Unless you're purposely fasting for a specific reason, everybody in here doesn't miss a meal. Well, why would you go days without reading the Bible? That's why so many Christians are weak when it comes to temptation, when it comes to saying no to self, because they said no to God. John 13:10, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but it is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Stay clean, Christian, and you won't betray Christ. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Matthew 23:26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Clean up, Christian. and you won't betray Christ. Matthew 26, 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. You know what everybody else at the table said? They said, Lord, is it I? Judas never called Christ Lord because he was a devil. He called him Master, but not Lord. If Christ is your Lord, your flesh will find it inconvenient to betray him. Now, there's a nice little saying out there, and all of these sayings become scripture in some people's mind. You know, they're good on a bumper sticker, but they're not canon. They're not scripture. One of those sayings is, if Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You ever hear that? That's absolutely crazy. Christ isn't Lord over everything in your life. Does that make him not Lord at all? By no means. The fellow that said, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever you go, he said, suffer me first. He still called him Lord. Peter said, Lord, be that far from thee, Lord. You mean Peter wasn't saved? God, Christ wasn't Lord over his life in that area. When he said, you're going to betray me, Peter said, nah, not me. Everybody else, yes, but not me. The truth is that Christ is Lord, whether you submit to his lordship or not. But you'll be better off if you submit, amen? If Christ is your Lord, by your submission, your flesh will find it inconvenient to betray him. Matthew 16, 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 26, 45 and 46, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. You know what happened? The Lord asked the disciples to watch and pray. And instead of doing that, they fell asleep. Christians sing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, and they can't pray 15 minutes. Now, I know that prayer isn't, the quality of prayer isn't determined by the quantity or the length, but whether it's from the heart and whether it's according to God's will. But you know what? You ought to be praying. The Bible says men ought to pray and not to faint. It says pray without ceasing, and you ought to pray anytime you have need and that you have need all the time. So if we stay awake spiritually, the flesh won't find it convenient to betray Christ. Romans 13, 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And last of all, John 18, 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto him, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. If you take your stand on the book, instead of standing with the crowd that's against Christ, you won't be able to betray Christ in your life. Exodus 32, 26, Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And you know, if you read that story, it's tough. They're not just standing. Okay, we're going to stand with Moses. Moses says, All right, you folks are on the Lord's side, you sons of Levi. Take every man his sword and go kill all those people that worship that golden calf. And there was bloodshed, brother, divine bloodshed. And God used those people that were on his side to do it. You're going to take your stand with the book? Or you're with your family? You're going to take your stand with the book or with your friends? I'm not saying to shun them or treat them as if they're not. No, love them, pray for them, witness to them. Well, if you ever have to choose between grandma and the book, you choose that book over grandma. You choose that book over mommy and daddy. You choose that book over your child. You know what Christ said? He that comes after me is not, if he loves father, mother, wife, husband, own child, his own life more than me, he can't be my disciple. You take your stand on the book, your flesh will find it real hard to betray Christ in your life. Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. I hope you've made that choice. You know what you have to do? You have to make that choice every day. And you have to stick to it. You know, talk is cheap. Anybody can say. It's another thing to commit and live it. A man had two sons. He said, go to work in my vineyard. One said, I go, sir. And he never went. The other one said, I'm not going. But afterwards, he repented and went. He's the guy that did God's will. God's not interested in talk. He's interested in action. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And guess what? There's going to be a test. Guess what? There are going to be places where you have to prove that. And if you commit yourself to Christ, He'll help you. And you won't betray Him. Last of all, Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The evil day is coming. Nobody knows when it's coming. And it may be different in your life than it is in my life. But you know what? There's going to come a time, if it hasn't come already. And I don't think it's come already because, you know, you're still here. You're still growing. You know, David said, I can fight this giant Goliath because God delivered a bear and a lion in my hands. But the bear and the lion were preparations for him to meet Goliath. And Goliath was preparation for him to meet Saul. And Saul was preparations for him to handle Absalom. David had bigger and better fights all of his life. He says there, if you take your stand now, you'll be able to stand in the evil day. Whatever that test is, if you take your stand today, God will take care of tomorrow. Amen? I don't know what's on the horizon, no more than anybody else. I mean, you can do your research. You can investigate. At best, you really can't prove any of that stuff to a degree, and for the most part, you really can't do anything about it. I know this. The Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We know it's going to get worse. But my responsibility and your responsibility is in the very next verse. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Your marching orders as a Christian haven't changed. If the bottom drops out tomorrow. So what are you saying, brother? I'm saying find ways to make it inconvenient in your life to betray Christ. And you will, by accident, be serving Him. By happy accident. Because nobody lives in a vacuum. You're either serving self or you're serving Christ. And if you make it inconvenient for self to get its way, then the Lordship of Christ is going to shine through your life. And you know what you'll find? You'll find a peace that passeth all understanding that keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You'll find that you're more than conquerors through Him that loveth. You'll find all those precious promises come to life rather than just being words on a page. Thank God for the words on the page. But boy, what a blessing when Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called, to them who love God according to His purpose, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good? I'd like to experience that, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't want to just read it. I want to know it. I want to live it. How do you do that, Brother Adam? You spend time in the book and you say, okay, Lord, teach me this verse. And you know what He'll allow? He'll allow some things in your life that'll teach you that verse better than any Greek or Hebrew scholar could ever teach you anything. There's no amount of Greek or Hebrew learning that will help you with those verses at all, any more than the English. You learn those verses by going through them and living them and having God bring you through them. And you know what you'll say at the end? You'll say, God, You do all things well. Amen. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for the preaching, the admonition, Lord, something that is convicting to myself as well as I trust everybody that's here, Lord, because as Christians, we all have room to grow and we all have room to improve in our walk with Thee. And Lord, our first love when we first got saved is it's tempered off and it's to a degree grown colder. And so it's necessary for us to get closer to other coals to get warm and stay warm. Real easy for Christians nowadays to fall out real easy for them to give up, real easy for them to get discouraged and off track. Your book says that there'd be a falling away first before the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And so we see that happening. But Lord, we also know that it's not necessary that we as individual Christians be Laodicean, lukewarm in our service to Thee. We can ask for the old paths. We can go and find the old-fashioned way and serve Thee scripturally and be an example of a Bible believer. Help each and every one of us to do that. Lord, as we dismiss, we pray, God, that You will please bless our parting fellowship and keep us safe on the roads and in our homes and bring us back again. And Lord, our prayers even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, if You choose to interrupt our lives with Your coming or with our passing, our prayer is, Lord, do whatever seems good in Your sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.